Keep hydrated. Something that we heard a little bit of this past week at Habitat for Humanity. You hear it in, on the news. Anytime that you're going out working out, anything like that, make sure that you keep hydrated, because dehydration, not a good thing. But I wonder, how much water really are we supposed to drink every day? Because for so long I have read that it's eight ounce glasses of water. Right? And that's been almost the standard. It's been reported that much drinking of water per day lets your body do a better job of cleaning out toxins, helps with weight loss, results in healthier skin. But then recently, probably about April, another news report comes out that says researchers are now questioning that claim, and their recommendation goes a little different now. The recommendation from some is drink when you're thirsty. Little bit of difference between there. That was on NPR. But then there's this morning's scripture reading, and right at the end, whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of those little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. And I know what it's like to be really thirsty. Not as thirsty as some people can get in the world, but I have felt thirst before. I'm sure we all have felt thirst this past week. Tuesday, oh my goodness, it was like 126 degrees. It was really 88, but it felt like 126 degrees, and every 15 minutes you had to douse yourself with water, drink whatever liquid you could get, and we had some water and some other things too, and we just kept drinking and drinking and drinking more and more water. And in this week's short Bible lesson, Jesus is finishing up the instructions. It's actually the instructions that he began last week. Not really last week, it was a long time ago, but we talked about them last week. The instructions to the disciples, and the instructions had been warnings, things are not going to always go well for you, but keep heart, don't worry that God will give you the words, and all kinds of nasty things will happen, but here's some good things that will happen. And right at the end, he just sort of sums it up. Hey, help refresh those helpless forgotten. The helpless and forgotten, the ones who are put aside, help refresh them and you'll be rewarded. I think that's really where he was going with that. When he says even, giving a cup of cool water to these little ones, we talk about it being children, but Jesus also talks about it as being God's people, these little ones. The children of Israel is kind of how it would be phrased sometimes. You'll be rewarded. And Jesus had plenty of time talking to the disciples about what they needed to do, sending them out. This is what I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cure. But all these different things. And he had spent a lot of time teaching the two really important rules of love God and love others. So I don't think that when he said, whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive this reward, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water, surely they will not lose their reward, that it was sort of one of these things where Jesus was saying, hey, do this, and you'll get this reward. I'm going to play on your greed. I'm going to play on you wanting to have all kinds of good things. So make sure that you have a cup of cold water, because if you don't, you won't get the prize at bucket number 6 on Bozo Circus, right? Like that old reference I just threw right in there. Who remembers bucket number 6? Anybody ever play the game, like, on TV? Anybody ever see anybody win? Yeah, like, once or twice. And you get a fancy new Schwinn bicycle. I know that any act of kindness brings satisfaction and something good to the giver of that. I think we have to acknowledge that right off the bat, that altruism is not really altruism, because there's always something that comes back to you. But if your motivation is to get the reward, it kind of is not in keeping with Jesus saying love God and love others. Know full well that God blesses people, but that shouldn't be the big motivation for it. This week, 25 adults and kids were at Tower Hill Camp in Michigan. It's called Habitat Volunteer Camp. 5 were from Union Congregational Church, and we were there, and we were, throughout the week, refreshed. We were refreshed on Monday, the first day of work. We were refreshed at a local Habitat for Humanity home, which was actually in Michigan City, Indiana, about a half an hour away. We were refreshed at a local home where there was a shed slash barn, pretty big, small barn, large shed, that needed a roof. We did half of it that day. We were refreshed at a women's shelter where there were a million tiny little jobs that needed to be done, and a group there just kept doing those jobs. We were refreshed right at Tower Hill, where we almost completed wiring, electrical wiring, this one building that was being remodeled at the camp. The weather was great that day. The breezes cooled us. We drank water when we were thirsty. We followed, the new laws, the new rules. But then we were refreshed on Tuesday. I said that was the hot day, when we finished the roof and took breaks every 15 minutes because we had to come down off the roof. It was just so hot. And we did lots more work on the Habitat home, and the work kind of slowed a little bit, but it kept going really strong, and people drank a lot of water before they got dehydrated. And we started and finished just a myriad of small jobs at camp, cutting down trees, knocking this out, moving this around, painting this little thing here. And we were refreshed, even in the midst of all the heat and the hard work. And all week long, we worked on projects, ones that refreshed the areas where we were, ones that refreshed the buildings, ones that refreshed the outdoors, but also ones that refreshed our souls, refreshed our minds. Not necessarily refreshed us physically. So we had to do something else for that. At the end of the day, it was time for that physical refreshment and some more spiritual refreshment, sort of repairing from the day to get ready for the next day. So we got to swim several days in Lake Michigan. That was fun. Tower Hill has their own beach. You can't call it a private beach because it's right along the Lake Michigan lakeshore. People walk up and down all the time, but they have an area where it's their beach, and they have their own lifeguards and everything. The only lifeguards in that area. There's no lifeguards for the other part of the beach. One day, we got to experience a giant slip and slide. Raise your hand if you know what a slip and slide is. Okay, you ever seen a really, really big one going down a big hill? Those are fun. It was kind of rainy, and we weren't going to walk over to the beach. We weren't sure if it was going to work out well for going into the water that day. So they set up, it was about 50 feet long, and they slid down a hill, and they put soap and oil and water all on this thing. So it's lickety-split right down there. Colin actually stood up on the way down one time. We didn't actually want him to do that, but he did it anyway. And once, he started going, he was the only one, I think, or maybe one other person got to stand all the way down. But that was fun. And Stephen, where's Stephen? We've got some video of Stephen going down, screaming, and then landing at the bottom in the grass, because he landed in the grass, and just like soap and bubbles and everything, just, it was, it's linked on a blog that I keep. You know what a blog is, anyone? It's at revkirk.blogspot.com, and you can go there and see some video of Stephen going down the hill. Colin's on there, two of us, doing that slip and slide, the giant slip and slide. And then every night after the slip and slide, we would go to the beach again. We'd have a campfire worship. This is more refreshment for the day, where we would sing songs. And yes, I got to lead songs, and I loved doing that. That was refreshing for me. We would be led in worship by a group of students who had prepared a lesson for that evening about different topics. Very refreshing as we grew closer to God, as we grew closer to one another. Big impact, even that small thing, that campfire would have every night. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. I don't think any of the folks that went on the trip at all went there to get a reward. But I think we were all rewarded. Brian, go ahead. Brian, stand up. This is Brian. Brian brought with him these gifts of service and an amazing construction know-how. I mean, he just knew. He said, we have to do this. Put in windows. Yeah, I think I can figure that out and do this. And all of the gifts that he brought, I don't know where it goes coming back to you, but I know that you were rewarded by the gifts of others. Thank you, Brian. And then Colin. Stand up, Colin. He brought with him this gift of service and the gift of friendship that in many ways your gifts were unleashed during the week because it was different at the beginning than it was at the end. But I know that in the gifts that you gave, you were also rewarded by the gifts of others. Go ahead, you can sit down. And Lori, Lori brought with her a wealth of experience from different mission trips. And I got to stay standing while I'm talking about you. From different habitat trips, this was the 13th habitat trip that she had been on, showed gifts of service, artistic talent. She drew a mural, painted a mural on the wall that's also listed on the blog, but we'll put pictures up at the church about that, that just sort of brighten the day of anyone that walks into this one room. And I know that you were rewarded by the gifts of others. Thanks, Lori. And Stephen, where's Stephen? There he is. Stephen, who was, well, had the gift of screaming while going down the giant slip and slide. But you, Stephen, had a gift of a willingness to serve, a willingness to try new things, and a welcome to everybody around. A person who you could always count on to say hello and to say good morning to you, even if he was tired. Sometimes good morning was, morning, but there was a smile right there. And I joked yesterday that there were a couple mornings that, boy, I thought Stephen's eyes were swollen shut, and I wondered if it was going to be like an allergic reaction, but it was really just, I'm not waking up yet. You can sit down, Stephen, because I know that you were blessed by the gifts of others. And then there was me. And I know that I came with gifts of service and music and inspiration. And I'm saying that, it sounds funny to say that about me, but you know, people said that. So I'm just repeating what other people said. I was rewarded, so rewarded by the gifts of the other people at the camp. The people here from Union Congregational Church, the people from all over Illinois. And we had people from Samanoff, we had people from Rockton, we had people from Downers Grove, and we had people from Wheaton, all together, 25 people from those places. Each one of us came to the camp with gifts. And we did talk in the last night about how some of those gifts had been unleashed throughout the week. But last week, there was more going on than just the five of us and the 25 of us who went to Habitat Camp. Do you remember last week, we had all five that were going to the camp up here, and as a congregation, we commissioned all of us to go out to work. And what else did we do? Anyone remember?
No, I wasn't really paying attention to that part.
We commissioned all of us, because each one of us was sent out in mission last week, as we are sent out every week in the benediction. We're sent out to do God's work. And for some here, it was probably a great week, and you could tell stories about the gifts that you showed, the gifts that you received. For some, it was an awful week, a terrible week, a week that you would not want to have again. For some, it was not at all memorable. But I hope that in some way, everyone who was here was either able to reach out to others with gifts that they had, or received gifts from others, gifts of love and compassion, gifts of help, all those different things, the gifts that God gives us. And this reaching out to one another with a cup of cold water. We talked about it on the last day of the Habitat Camp, and I hope that we talk about it in church here, and we talk about it all the time. When we realize the gifts that God has given us, when we realize the things that we can do to give a cup of cold water, to give help to somebody else, it's not something that just you do during that week of camp, or the week that the pastor says, this is the week we're going to be in mission together. It's the things that we do all the time. Not because we're going to get a reward. Sure, when we give, there is receiving that happens. That's not really the motivation. The motivation is God says, go and do this. Go and love me. Go and love your neighbor. So these gifts that we have, they're things that we use every day. We did talk a little bit about, you know, if you don't use talents, they can shrivel up and go away. And I don't think God will just take it away. But there's a challenge to go out and to use those things that you are blessed with to reach out with a cup of cold water to somebody in need. Well, I tell you, hearing the gifts that the different people on the worship team identified in all of the people there, it was like a really great warm fuzzy for the week. Everyone got to hear nice things about them. Wouldn't it be great if every Sunday we did that? You know, we just went around and started saying, you know, I appreciate you because, as a matter of fact, that's what we're going to do. Not during the church service now, because, you know, we got VBS downstairs. But during coffee hour, during VBS, when you're talking to someone, try to identify something. Say, you know, I really appreciate this about you. I really appreciate this about you. And And know that God is woven all through that, because God is the giver of these gifts, and God is the one that challenges us to say, give a cup of cold water in my name. So I wonder, what cup of cold water do you need to receive today? May we all be blessed and receive that refreshment that we desperately need. And I wonder, what cup of cold water can you give today? May we all be blessed and give that refreshment that is desperately needed. And I hope we're not in it for the reward, that we're just out to share a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. And Jesus brings refreshment all the time. And our challenge is to go and share that refreshing with others. And if we all did that, not just us, we challenge other people. I think that it spreads out. You know, you tell two friends and so on and so on. How refreshing that would be. Let's pray. In our deepest times of need, in our most awesome celebrations, O God, help us to know, to give, to receive that cup of cold water. Challenge us to live our lives using the gifts you have blessed us with, to reach out to a brother and sister in need, to celebrate with a brother or sister, to share your love with all we meet. Amen.